When we talk about voting rights in this country, we often talk about gerrymandering, issues around voter IDs, and redistricting. But much of the legal action around voting rights happens at the municipal level, often in small cities and towns. And more cases are being brought by Latino voters. In fact, this year, Latinos have started 32 legal actions compared with 6 from black voters. WSAU's Charles Lane reports.
For Anna Flores, it's the little things, potholes, broken streetlights, a swimming pool.
Marco Polo, you play those games, splashing water, literally anything.
Flores is 21 and Latina. She lives in Brentwood, a Hispanic neighborhood within the mostly white town of Islip on Long Island. The town board, all white, closed her pool. Islip said it needed to pay for repairs in other areas. Those parts happened to be wealthier and whiter.
So we signed petitions and we wanted answers on what happened. And all we were told is, like, it's closed and there's no money. Most of us have lost hope in government.
She says her vote is diluted because Islip holds elections at large, meaning there aren't districts in Islip. The whole town votes for all elected officials. This makes it hard for Latinos from her neighborhood to win elections. So she and her neighbors sued. Across the country, other Latinos are doing the same, whether it's because of what they say are unfair redistricting plans or onerous voter ID laws. Fred Brewington is one of the attorneys bringing the suit in Islip. He says on top of a growing population, many Latinos are also besieged with poverty, unequal education, and in Brentwood specifically, the violent street gang MS-13.
Some of the issues that we're seeing in terms of inappropriate funding, no place for the young people to go. Those are things that a township the size of Islip should be providing to a community that they should have recognized. But what they decided to do was to continue to push them down, to underrepresent them, and essentially ignore them.
Nationally, starting in 2006 and every year since, more voting rights cases have been started by Hispanic voters than African Americans. Over the last 10 years, Latinos have initiated twice as many legal actions than all other groups combined. But 5 years ago, courts started turning these types of lawsuits away.
And I'm afraid that that shutdown is going to increase in the future.
Morgan Kauser teaches political science and history at Caltech. He says after a 2013 Supreme Court decision called Shelby County v. Holder, there were fewer restrictions on states and lawsuits became a lot more expensive.
I testified in the Texas redistricting case, 7 years of litigation. It just went on and on and on.
Just when Hispanic voters are flexing their Democratic muscles, like in Islip, Kauser says their path is being cut off.
There will be fewer people going around knocking on doors to try to get them to vote. There will be fewer ads on Spanish television or radio.
The town of Islip hasn't yet said how it will respond to the lawsuit, but Michael Carvin, a conservative lawyer who fights against voting rights cases, says there's no good reason to draw district lines to accommodate racial and ethnic groups. He says it's no longer true that minorities only vote for themselves.
President Obama is the best example of that. The vast majority of his votes didn't come from his racial group. They came from other racial groups.
He agrees that courts are much less willing to rule in favor of voting rights lawsuits. He says that's a good thing because racially segregated voting districts takes us away from a post-racial ideal.
I think that the more that we insist on a system that treats every voter, minority and non-minority, the same, the closer we're going to be coming to that ideal.
Back in Brentwood, Anna Flores says Latinos have been asking for that equal treatment for years. But still, they can't get anyone from their community elected.
If you have someone that looks like us and knows who we are and knows what we go through, then there's a better chance that they will comply to what we want. And again, all we want is to be heard.
Much of the debate on voting rights has shifted to the states, where new protections are being enacted and challenged in court. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
Charles joins us now with more on this story. Charles, you mentioned that after the 2013 Shelby County Supreme Court decision, that the debate shifted to the state level. What's happening in New York and Connecticut?
To greater and lesser degrees, the focus is on enfranchising people formerly incarcerated. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed an order recently giving parolees the right to vote. While in Connecticut, the General Assembly held a whole one-hour hearing on the issue and then dropped it. To get anywhere close to what the National Voting Rights Act had before 2013, you have to look to two states, California and Washington State. They have very far-reaching voter rights, which are or will soon be challenged in court.
What about at the town level?
In Connecticut, it's a pretty big mix. A lot of towns, especially the bigger ones, have districts or wards, whereas the school boards are almost all at large. In New York, at-large elections are the norm, and only with a fight or numerous fights do New York jurisdictions switch to councilmatic or ward-style schemes.
Yeah, you mentioned Islip had a referendum to switch away from at-large voting in 2006. Why did that fail?
Well, actually, 2006 was the only year that it made it to the ballot. There had been numerous efforts to get it on the ballot before that, all of them blocked by the Republican majority. It took a huge corruption scandal in order to get the referendum before voters. And then, perhaps hypocritically, it was put on the ballot in the general election, almost guaranteeing failure.
Why would that guarantee failure?
Because when you think about it, at-large voting is, in its truest form, is majority rules. Just 51% of the population can theoretically deprive 49% of any voice in government. So, again, theoretically, in a general election where you have higher turnout, you're asking a majority, in this case, Islip's Republicans, to give up their power. But in a special election, only those motivated will turn out, which tips the odds greatly in favor of those who want to change the voting scheme.
WSHU's Charles Lane. Charles, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.